WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Book critic Maureen Corrigan is seeing pink this summer, and she's not at all sure that it's a flattering color.
Harry Potter's latest outing may be the hottest novel of the summer, but while all eyes have been trained on wizards, Hogwarts, and the astounding amount of moolah they generate, another literary phenomenon has been slipping under the door. Pink books. All of a sudden, I'm surrounded by pink books. They arrive in every week's delivery of review copies. A rash of pink novels, mostly, but some pink nonfiction, all written by women, all taking place in New York City, almost all featuring stiletto heels or some other kick-butt version of female footwear on their pink book jackets. The mixed visual message here is that the heroines of these stories are Powerpuff Girls, tough for sure, but also girly enough to wear pink. Trace the pink book trend to the reissuing this summer of the original pink book, Helen Gurley Brown's 1962 manifesto, Sex and the Single Girl. That's the book that tutored women on how to be acrobatic geishas to the men in their life. It's been out of print for nearly 20 years, and its republication surely owes something to the popularity of the HBO hit, Sex and the City. In turn, we owe that TV series to the column of the same name, published in the New York Observer by Candace Bushnell. She has a new pink book out this summer called Trading Up. So does Amanda Brown, who wrote the novel that became the movie Legally Blonde. Brown's new pink book is called Family Trust, and the high heels on its cover are lower than the ones on Bushnell's, but that's because her ambitious single girl heroine turns out to be a lot nicer. There's a very entertaining new pink book with recipes by Amanda Hesser, a food columnist for the New York Times. Its title is Cooking for Mr. Latte, and it doesn't display sadomasochistic shoes on its book jacket, but rather the ultimate jackpot for the pink book heroines, a nice rich guy. And there's a pink first novel by Hannah McCouch called Girl Cook. Her cover features a woman outfitted in a pink bandana and pink chef's pants wearing combat boots. These pink books are, believe me, a small sampling of a veritable Pepto-Bismol tidal wave. They vary in literary quality and likability, but they all share a basic think pink plot, a plot that maybe tells us something about the pinking of post-feminism. Amanda Brown's novel, Family Trust, offers the think pink plot in its most unpolluted form. Its heroine is a young, beautiful New York businesswoman described this way. Nothing about Becca Reinhardt or her restless, money-drenched world was delicate. Indeed, all pink heroines sport shells as hard as Gloria Steinem's old aviator glasses in order to compete in the men's worlds of high finance and gourmet food. Our swaggering pink heroines sometimes toss around four-letter words, and they all demonstrate their buying power and discrimination by relentless references to high-end brand names and locales. Bushnell is the worst offender in this regard. Life wasn't worth living if you couldn't have the best it had to offer, advises her heroine, and barely a page goes by in Trading Up without some mention of class signifiers like Louis Vuitton duffel bags or the Hamptons. Even Bushnell's strained allusions throughout her novel to Edith Wharton and Charles Dickens come off like literary product placements. On the less hot pink end of the spectrum, Hesser, who is by far the best writer as well as the most self-aware and endearing heroine of the bunch, mockingly calls her then-boyfriend Mr. Latte because he commits the faux pas of ordering a cafe latte after his meal on their first date. Those who know about food know that's simply not done. He needed a lot of reform, writes Hesser. And reform, culminating in the ultimate reward of marriage, is what pink plots are about. With the exception of Bushnell's heroine, all these pink heroines find rosy true love with wealthy men from aristocratic backgrounds. McCouch's renegade chef sails off into the sunset with a man who wears tasseled loafers. Hesser moves out of her cramped apartment and settles with Mr. Latte into a brownstone in Brooklyn Heights, equipped with a Viking stove and sub-zero freezer. Besides nabbing her blue blood guy, Brown's Becca Reinhardt even becomes an instant mother to a 4-year-old girl. Bushnell's heroine departs from this pattern of patrician pairing because, unlike the others, down deep she's not good and kind, so she's punished at the end of trading up by having to settle for the empty consolations of more money and greater fame. There's nothing wrong with romance, even romance between feisty heroines and Mr. Darcy lookalikes. But when I think about the values that these pink books uphold, consumerism, the moneyed aristocracy, the essential rightness of the status quo, it strikes me that while the women in these books are liberated, their social vision isn't liberating. I wish these books were a little less pink and maybe just a little more pinko.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.